quorum, even though we aren't going to be voting today. But I think we have some good information that about some of our the implications of some of our past actions, and that will be good for us to hear. And so I'm looking forward to hearing from the folks from Minnesota Reading Corps. And I believe Kathy Saltzman, our former colleague here, is going to kick it off. Welcome, Kathy.
It is great to be here, Madam Chair. I want to thank you and the other committee members for inviting us to give you an overview of the Reading Corps, what has happened in the past year, what will be happening in future years, and also some very promising and exciting results. I think the last time we were here was last April, and at that time we were giving you an overview of the program. And since that time, the leadership of this committee and also the governor awarded us a very significant investment in next year's Reading Corps. And so I want to thank you for that. And I also want to point out that this program has had such strong support from both parties. It's that when it comes to children reading, it's not a partisan issue. And so I just want to note that in this room, in room 112, this is where I served as a senator, great things happened. And it's because of a partnership that I had with you, Madam Chair, and also with Senator Stumpf, who really supported me as I worked on different literacy legislation. So I want to thank Senator Stumpf for that as well. When it comes to reading, it's such an important issue, and I also want to commend you for all the important work that you've done in the past year on policy. It's not just about dollars. It's really about making sure that children receive the instruction that they need to be successful. So it is a pleasure to be here today, and thank you very much. So to get started, I just want to review that, you know, our mission is really to focus on the fact that children need to read by the end of third grade, and that is where we really focus. Our programs are an age 3 to grade 3 model, and so about a third of our members focus on a pre-K program, and about two-thirds work with a K through 3 program. And it really is a program that really is seamless, and that we're working on that, as you'll see with our results, that more schools are providing both the pre-K program and the K-3. Reading by third grade is a gateway to all learning. And we always talk about the fact that before third grade, children learn to read, and after third grade that they read to learn. And that's why it's such a gateway skill. It's one of the most important skills that a child needs to learn. And that third grade test is really the first time for us to really see where they're at. And that's why we really do a lot of our data collection around where our children at in terms of their progress toward that goal. We know that when children can't read, it threatens the economic competitiveness of both of the American and also the state in terms of our workforce. When you visit prisons, and I used to have two in my district, I always heard from the warden about the number of people who are in our prisons who can't read. And so it really is important for us to focus on that skill. We also know that the Minnesota Reading Corps has been extremely successful, and that's why we're so pleased to be able to provide results today from last year to show you that your investment is really making a difference. It is highly replicable and it's scalable, as you've seen with us and our growth, and it is a proven system for ensuring both, like, you know, consistency and also fidelity. That is one thing that we really focus on, is that when we train our members, that the program that they start in September, that they are performing the same way in May. So we really do a lot with our coaching and also with our checks to make sure that we are being very effective. So one thing I want to share with you is that a new report that came out from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, it is called Double Jeopardy, and how third grade reading skills and poverty influence high school graduation. And the findings will show that 16% or 1 in 6 children who are not reading proficiently in third grade fail to graduate from high school. That is 4 times the rate of children who are proficient in third grade. And this study started, I believe, in 1976, and so they looked at children born between 76 and 86 and then followed them through through their high school year. So this was just published, I believe, in the last month. But we also find that for children who are poor and who lived in poverty for at least a year, that they failed to graduate from high school at a rate of 26%. And then for children who are poor and lived in neighborhoods of concentrated poverty, they did not graduate at a rate of 35%. So both of those things together are really impacting kids. So that's why it's so important for us to be able to make sure that children are going to read by third grade. So just a little update on what has happened since last year. When we started our core last year, one thing that is very important to us is that we train our members, that when our members appear on the steps of a school, that we have provided them with very rigorous training in the very best reading instruction strategies. And so we started last year on August 9th with 702 FTEs, or about the equivalent of 787 members, appearing at the St. Paul Civic Center and for a 3.5-day training. And Senator Olson, you were there and also participated in that training. We appeared. This is just part of you. When you think about the number of over 700 reading tutors, we really don't get them together all that often. And so we fill the ballroom at the
Center.
At this venue, and it is an incredible sight to see. So this was our opening day, which was a massive red, and then we break out into groups. And so these members then have training for the next 3 days on really understanding the science of reading and then the specific interventions that we use. We bring our members back throughout the year for additional training in data collection. Our pre-K students have additional training to really look at where they're at in terms of their students and how they can be more effective. So we really make sure that our members are really prepared for this job. We also focus on a coaching model, and so there is an internal coach at the school, plus a master coach who works with us and checks in with both the internal coach and also the member throughout the year, again, to make sure that consistency with all of the work that they do. Last year, or this current year, in 2011, we started out with 702 MSYs, member service years, or an FTE. That equates to 789 members who started the year. We were in 126 school districts, which meant 478 sites. Those could be K-3 schools or K-6 schools. They also could be preschool centers or Head Start centers. As of March 31st, we had served 20,758 students this year, and we have exited students at the rate of 6,725. Now, our pre-K students, we don't really exit them because our members are in a classroom. So these represent students in K-3 who have successfully shown that they have reached their benchmarks and reached, proficiency. Highlights of this year, you have in your packets a couple things I just want to point out.
Senator Altman, could you respond to a question? Senator Nelson is raising a question at this point, if
Senator
you don't
Nelson.
Mind.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. These numbers are great, and my question is, and maybe you'll get to it later, and if so, tell me. I was just curious, since we tripled the funding for Reading Core last year, are these numbers three times higher? I mean, I'm just curious, what did that investment last year, how did that impact these numbers?
That affects next year.
And on that note, Madam Chair, I think that last year when we appeared before this committee, that we noted that if funding did not increase, that this year the core would have decreased in size. So we were able to go from 600 FTEs to 702 this year. And then next year, I do have a slide about that. If you'd like to wait, I can review those.
Absolutely, I'd be glad to wait.
Thank you very much. So So this year, some things that we did that we think are pretty exciting is that we expanded the family literacy program. And you'll see in your packets in the back a parent reading tip page. And so we really understand the importance of parents and their role in ensuring children are like on track to read. And so we're really trying to help them in a very subtle way to be able to understand what is happening with their child and ways that they can be more effective when they read with children. I think that oftentimes we hear people say, well, if people would just read with kids, they'd be able to read. And that is very important for a child to be in an enriched environment. But at the same time, there are different ways that you can read with a child to make sure that they are really developing the early literacy skills. And so this parent tip page is part of our Talk, Read, and Write program, which is focused on pre-K. You'll notice that on the back you might have, it may be in Hmong or El Somali, we also have Spanish as well, so that when a book goes home with a child, that a parent can look at different ways that they can focus on different skills with letter sounds, letter names, alliteration, rhyming, pointing to words, increasing vocabulary. And so this is a program that we started in pre-K. United Way was very helpful in starting this program. So we have this program in some of our schools where we provide the books as well, but these materials are now available to all of our pre-K sites to replicate. The other program that we started this year is for our K-3 program. It focuses particularly on children in second and third grade, and it's called Ra, 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 Read at Home, Read at Home, Read at Home. And the way that this program works is that as a child becomes proficient in a particular passage, we'll include that in this packet and send it home with parents for the child to read with them three times. And this is a really great way for the child to show that they're becoming successful. It's a passage that they are, you know, proficient in reading. Also, when a parent practices three times, we know that that's going to reinforce and help them practice really important skills. So it's really a good way to involve parents. And it's been really fun this year as we've gone out to visit different sites and see these little ones show up for their reading core, time and carrying this, like, you know, packet with them back and forth. So it's really another way for us to reinforce that family literacy is really, really important. The other piece that we have done this year is that, you know, our members are in schools between 8 and 2 or 8 and 3 or 8 and 4, but sometimes they have additional hours that they need to fulfill. And so sometimes they work within their school with an after-school program, but we also have started a partnership there with two programs, Project for Pride and Living and Common Bond, where our members go to those sites, which are housing sites, it's where children live, and help them tutoring with you know, different skills and early literacy. So that's great. And then we also have started the Press Initiative, which is with Target and also the U of M, which is at 6 Minneapolis schools. And that's really incorporating a program that focuses on also the core instruction and reading core and how we can use best on the best practices and data to ensure that all children are reading by third grade. So that is very, very promising. So now we're into 2012-13, and we are so excited about this opportunity to expand the reading core and really reach more students in Minnesota. So to answer the earlier question, we are going up to 950 MSYs or FTEs, and because some of our members are part-time, that will mean that we will have around 1,066 members. What is really exciting is that this year so far, 34% of our current members have expressed interest in coming back for next year. And that is just absolutely wonderful for a number of reasons. It helps us with, like, you know, recruitment, but also these members have a year of experience. And we keep hearing from our members that when they come back, they can really hit the ground running. They have those skills. And so that is really, really exciting. We will be at 652 sites across the state. So that is tremendous increase. We also are very excited because we will be at 25 schools that have a high American Indian student population, and that's an increase of 13 schools. So over 100% increase in that respect. And these are schools where we feel that We have a higher achievement gap, and so how can we really target those schools? In terms of our growth this year, the other piece I just want to point out is that in terms of where we are placing our members, that of the 950, 380 will be in our greater Minnesota communities, which are outside about the 11-county metro area. And again, we will have more part-time members in greater Minnesota, and that's because we are placing members in a number of very small schools where they might just have half of a part-time member. So we're really spreading this out. We will be at 308 sites in greater Minnesota. So in the metro area, you may have schools within our urban centers that might have 3 or 4 or 5 members. In greater Minnesota, it is more likely that you'll have one or 2 members in a school. And also to Senator Nelson, I just want to just share that, as I shared earlier, that in the Rochester area, we are seeing a very significant increase this year. And also Bemidji went from not having Reading Corps to about 10 members this year. So they are, which is just wonderful to see a school district embrace this program. In terms of the applications this year, what we really, again, tried to do is that we saw growth in some schools where schools really had the need to increase maybe by a member. In some school districts that had the K-3 program, they expanded to also wanting the pre-K, which, again, creates a seamless model. And the other piece of that is that in greater Minnesota, we really tried as often as possible to give those schools who expressed an interest, to give them at least one or a part-time member. So we really tried to spread this out across the state, and that is something that we really are excited about. The one piece, though, I do want to stress is that we have wonderful data to share today, but this would not happen if we did not have Minnesotans stepping up to dedicate a year of their life to national service, and that is the AmeriCorps program. So here we are blending the people power of national service and AmeriCorps with the science of how children learn to read. And when we do that, this is reform. It is education reform that is getting real measurable results. It is reform that is not controversial. It's reform that people love. So I think that that's important to note. So the one piece I do also want to point out to you is that you have in your packets these flyers. And so when we received the news that we had received this very, very generous investment in the Reading Corps last year, the first thing we started thinking was recruitment, that we are successful because we have recruited tutors who are high quality, they are motivated, they are very committed. So we have started our recruitment campaign, and you have with you some materials that I hope that you might post in your community or your office to be able to really show that we have an urgent need for over 1,000 tutors. And right now we have over 1,000 applications. We have to recruit between 2 and 3 times the number that we need to be able to find the quality. So it's really, really important that we get the word out. Our school districts work with us. You'll see that your local school districts are advertising, talking with parents. Our members come from all different walks of life. In some AmeriCorps programs, traditionally you think of them as recruiting young people who maybe are taking a year after college or during college to do service. Our Corps is very, very diverse. We do have a lot of young people, but we also have retirees. We have parents. We have, people who are thinking about a change in their career. So we really tap all different sorts of folks, and it's really exciting to see the diversity, but we always are looking for more. So just in terms of that. One thing I want to do today is to have Laura Battaglia speak a little bit. She is a former Reading Corps member from our last Corps year, and so the results you'll be hearing are really due in part to Laura's work. And she's here today to just speak about her experience, because not only do we change the lives of children, we change the lives of the people who serve. And some of them, it is a life-changing experience. So at this time, Madam Chair, Laura Battaglia.
Welcome, Laura.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for having us today. Appreciate the opportunity to share our story.
Say your name for the record.
Laura Battaglia, Minnesota Reading Corps alumni. So I was a member of Minnesota Reading Corps in the 2010-2011 school year, serving as a kindergarten through third grade tutor full-time at Moreland Elementary in West St. Paul. This first ring suburb, just across the river from where we sit today, is where I grew up. I graduated from Henry Sibley High School, went off to the University of Minnesota, where I studied family social science and social justice. It was through my academic work that I discovered my passion for education policy and an urgent calling to be part of an initiative that to close the achievement gap for undersourced families and students. Time and time again in college, I encountered research and social theory that supported my belief that individuals and families are more than the sum of their parts. Human potential is contingent on external supports and opportunities to thrive. With these beliefs firmly entrenched in my personal perspective of the world, I graduated from college, and little did I know that shortly before I reached for my diploma, I had made one of the best decisions of my life. I applied to be a literacy tutor with Minnesota Reading Corps. Throughout the following summer, I proceeded through various parts of the screening process and placement procedure and training institute that all members participate in. All of these steps led me to exactly where I wanted and needed to be for this amazingly rewarding year of my life. The school year got off to an exciting start, and with no time to lose, I worked with a team of intervention specialists at my site to do comprehensive literacy testing on each student in the school. With our data in hand, we were able to make informed decisions about which students qualified and would be well-suited for the one-to-one intensive literacy tutoring that I would provide. Based on Minnesota Reading Corps model, the students that I ended up working with were those that fall just below their grade appropriate reading targets. Many of the students that we identified were English language learners, students, and students whose families did not have the time or energy to participate in interactions to promote literacy, and students that displayed behavior in the classroom that distracted sometimes from being proficient readers. After seeing the numbers that we were working with, I felt a sense of urgency to start working with my little scholars as quickly as possible to meet their needs. Throughout the school year, I worked 20 minutes each day with each of my 20 students in my caseload on a rotating basis. I worked with my internal literacy coach, Sarah, to develop a detailed plan for each child based on their needs and quantitative grade level goal. Working with the same group of students each day throughout the school year allowed me to know their strengths and challenges in an intimate way. I knew the behaviors that were problematic and ways to mitigate those issues. I knew which letter sounds were tricky for my kindergartners and which students thrived by competing with themselves for their reading targets and which passages would be engaging for which students. It was so exciting to watch students grow by leaps and bounds week after week. I watched timid and disinterested readers light up with the opportunity to read with me. I saw students that were frequent flyers at the principal's office start to make better choices in the classroom. Most importantly, I saw students that didn't need me anymore as I exited them from the Minnesota Reading Corps model. Through the research-based interventions that kept careful tabs on each child's progress, students began to catch up to their peers. Every day I was working myself out of a job as they gained skills and confidence to carry on without the extra structure and support that I provided. My ability to make a positive impact in the Moreland community did not end with my primary role as a literacy tutor. I felt empowered by the faculty, staff, and parents to use my creativity and energy to build capacity in the school in many other ways. I helped Moreland's social worker develop and implement family learning plans. I was an extra set of hands during school-wide events. I coordinated a book fair to increase resources for the library, and I helped facilitate a bike drive in the spring and even recruited my own family and friends to become tutors and mentors within the school. This experience impressed upon me how much work it is to make a school function and to meet the needs of all students and families. It showed me that everyone involved must be firing on all cylinders to support the children in their care. Moreland Elementary and my time with Minnesota Reading Corps showed me that building capacity within schools and working relentlessly each day to empower students can have rewards beyond anything tangible or monetary. These organizations, Moreland and Minnesota Reading Corps, provided me with the greatest gift and honor that I can imagine, and that's the opportunity to equip children for a lifetime of learning. Thank you for your time, and I appreciate you listening to my story.
Thank you very much. Any questions of our former member? I think we have, is this Carrie Bowman?
Yes, Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Carrie Bowman. Thank you so much for having us here today to share some results that are from our 2010-2011 program year. I'd like to start by explaining a bit about the way that we conduct our evaluation for the Minnesota Reading Corps program. We use a family of measurements called curriculum-based measurement when we are looking at trying to capture the skills and the growth of our students. These measures, the curriculum-based measures, have had a long and impressive history of empirical research that demonstrate their validity and reliability for decision-making in the educational realm. And interestingly and importantly for our students, the scores that students receive on the curriculum-based measures are highly correlated with outcomes on our Minnesota statewide test of reading in third grade. Because of this correlation, we are able to define a series of target scores in fall, winter, and spring of each of the preceding grades that really define a pathway of success for students. And by monitoring progress across the years, we can quickly identify those students who may be at risk for not achieving grade level attainment. Through this system of screening for students, we're able to identify students who would benefit from the additional support that Minnesota Reading Corps provides and invite those students to participate in the program. Students who do participate in the Minnesota Reading Corps program are monitored using these curriculum-based measurement tools on a weekly basis so that we can look very carefully at the growth that they are achieving and be able to make formative educational and instructional changes to be able to maximize and accelerate their growth. The results that I will be sharing with you today will look at the growth that our students have achieved throughout the school years on these curriculum-based measurements, and then also we will look at the achievements that the students have made on the Minnesota Comprehensive Assessment in third grade. The first slide describes the increases in students that have been served, and I won't go into great detail here because Kathy has already described the growth that we have had both with our students who we're working with at the pre-K level and also those students who are working at the K-3 level. One additional aspect of the program that's important to evaluation I would like to point out based on this slide is that once we have begun serving a student through the Minnesota Reading Corps program, even after they have met our exit criteria, we will continue to screen those students 3 times a year in order to ensure that they're continuing on that pathway to success. And if we were to find a student who is falling below our targeted expectations, we certainly offer the opportunity for them to be pulled right back into the program for the additional support that they need. So we see our data in increasing that screening across years, which has been an important way for us to continue making sure that none of our students fail. Forward one more slide. We'll show you next about our pre-K program goal attainment. For the students in pre-K, so these are students who are 3, 4, or 5 years old but not enrolled in a kindergarten program, we use 5 measures of early literacy skill to identify their strengths and instructional needs and also to see if they are on track to meet the expectations that we know are important for good likelihood of success beginning in the kindergarten year. The graph that you're looking at now looks at the history of our data since the program began in 2003-2004, and what's been so exciting and gratifying to see is how the program has continued to improve year after year in terms of the outcomes we're achieving for the students. So as the program has grown across the state, we are also achieving a higher and higher percentage of our students who are leaving their preschool experience with skills that we believe will result in them being well-equipped to be successful in their kindergarten and really early elementary experience. The letter naming fluency is a measure that we look at really not only in pre-K, but as the students move into kindergarten. We know it's one of the most highly predictive skills in terms of looking at how students will later fare as readers, and to think that we have the students that are identified as at risk meeting our target expectation at almost 75% is a an outcome that our team was particularly proud of. We know that we're sending our students off with good skills to be successful in kindergarten.
Could I just ask you a question on that area with the improvement? Do you have any idea how much of that improvement is attributed to carrying over members that are getting their second year of experience? You know, they come in with experience, or is it a factor of the changes or improvements in your pre-training of the members? You obviously, I know, having taken that training up in the literacy coach, which is the same instruction that is given to the members, it's very prescribed. It's well documented, and it's done extremely well. But if you caught Laura's statement, 20 students for 20 minutes a day, every day. We've calculated that out. That's an intense. They're not wasting any time. Yep. And they're at it. And I think that it's a model. If you obviously have to have enough confidence and a background to be able to keep that up and be able to make that adjustment and stay organized with all of the things that you're doing. So it just really is an impressive model. But I'd be interested, do you attribute that improvement in results to any one of those factors, the training or the carryover?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's an excellent question, and I think we do attribute our growth to a series of factors. Certainly, this program operates under a continuous improvement model. We're carefully looking at our data each year and thinking carefully about how we can make improvements to the training and supports that we give to our members to help them be successful with students. The other factor that I'd like to point out is that we see this program as having great potential for systems change. So particularly in our pre-K model, it is not only the members who receive training, but also the internal coaches and classroom teachers on the importance of early literacy instruction and in specific techniques that will help students develop these early literacy skills. So though the members can spend only a few years in the program, the teachers can be there for many, many years. And so our opportunity to train and provide support to the teachers that are really the bedrock of the program, I think improves the program in ways that we haven't been able to quantify, but we certainly, from the informal feedback that we hear back from our teachers, they say, you know, our classrooms look different because of Minnesota Reading Corps. The things that we're doing with our students are different because of Minnesota Reading Corps. So we certainly like to think that our training is terrific, and we work hard to make it be that way, but we also understand that we're in a very important partnership with the schools and the teachers who are there working full-time as well.
Great. Thank you.
If we turn our attention to the kindergarten through grade 3 program, I will like to spend a few minutes describing this slide. So I mentioned that we have target scores that are set for fall, winter, and spring of each grade. So we know, for example, that in second grade, a student who is reading about 43 words a minute is in good shape, on the right track to be a proficient reader, meeting statewide expectations by the end of third grade. By the spring of that same academic year, they need to be reading roughly double that. So there's an expectation of growth that happens across the academic year that will keep students on track to grade level attainment. And so when you look at the target growth rate, which is your middle row on this on this chart, you can see what kind of growth we really need our students in Minnesota to make if they are to reach grade level attainment as measured by our statewide high stakes test of reading. The row above that middle row is our reading core mean growth rate, and what this shows is the growth rate that an average student participating in the reading core is making. You'll notice we're happy to report that it's higher than our expected growth rate, and what this means to us is that we're taking students who are identified as being at risk because of their lower than expected performance rate, and we're accelerating their growth so that they can close the gap, making more growth in a year's time than we would typically need a student to make. This exciting results will end up with the students meeting their grade level expectations in the spring.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rieger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there information that specifically goes to various subgroups, ethnic groups, where we can look at the achievement gap for racial disparity? You talk about the gap overall, but something that might focus in specifically on that.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair and Senator, thank you for the question. We have done some work looking at the demographic differences, and in particular have looked at differences in districts that serve students with more economic and racial diversity, and we find that our performance, as with many programs, is not as stellar with our students with racial diversity as it is with our students across the state. Related to that continuous improvement model, we've done some very specific things through our partnership with the University of Minnesota and in our other pilot programs to invest time and resources in studying how we can make differential impact with those students. One particular example is work that we're doing in the area of vocabulary. We understand that students from low socioeconomic status backgrounds tend to have a less rich vocabulary when they are coming into school, and this impacts their ability to learn to read, because even if they can figure out the sounds of the word and decode the word accurately, if they don't have an understanding of what the word means, they won't get the big idea of the story. And so we're working to understand how we can impact the students by building their background knowledge and vocabulary, so that when we also support them learning the decoding the code system, that they have both pieces that they need to be successful.
Senator DeCryf.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm looking at this chart, and it's quite impressive that the reading core rate is higher than the target rate, other than one area. And I just want to ask about that one area. And, you know, because we're looking at data, I want to try to understand, why do you think in one area that the reading core fell a little short?
And you're describing first grade spring?
Yes.
Madam Chair, thank you. That has been an interesting phenomenon for us, and we have watched this a couple of years through our data. We have two hypotheses about why first grade spring may be a less successful time for us. One of the hypotheses is that we need to do something different with our intervention. When you think about the first grade year, students are typically not reading connected text at the beginning, and they are at the end. So it's a transformational year in terms of literacy skill development. And so one of the important pilot studies that we began this year was to investigate a new and very targeted intervention to support the more advanced phonics development for students in the spring of first grade, to see if by changing our interventions and improving them, we could improve the first grade spring outcomes. The other hypothesis that we have, which is a little trickier to figure out, is that because the students begin the school year not reading and end the school year reading, it's the only school year in which our measurement system changes mid-year. So we are looking at measures of early literacy in the fall, how students are able to decode simple words, and a measure of connected text in the spring. So the spring of first grade marks the first time during which the students are expected to perform on an assessment where they're given a regular reading passage and they just have to read it. And one hypothesis is that it has something to do with the measurement system, that there's a floor effect, meaning that the, I guess one way to describe it would be that the assessment is too difficult, not sensitive enough to capture growth for students who are not yet reading enough words of connected text for that measure to be able to really capture the growth. So we are first looking at the hypothesis that we think we have the most control over, which is, can we really strengthen our intervention system in that semester to be able to catapult that growth? And then thinking from an evaluation perspective, if there's a way that we can understand better whether there's growth that's occurring that's not well captured by our oral reading fluency measure, or whether we need to work at it from an intervention perspective.
Senator Bono.
Madam Chair, and that, you know, that's helpful to hear, but it's still, I think it looks like you're still getting growth that's beyond what, I mean, 1.62, while it might not be your target, is certainly worth noting that you're going beyond a year and almost 2 years growth, if I'm reading that right, correct?
Well, we would hope that students would make 1.67 words per week growth, and our students are 5/100ths of a word per week below
exactly.
Our target, which is not where we want it to be. And so we are certainly looking very carefully at that piece to be successful.
But it's interesting when you look at grade 2 and grade 3 on the same oral reading fluency, there's substantial growth
right.
over your target.
Yeah.
So it is maybe kind of a fluke you've identified. It's, you know, keep searching, but it certainly doesn't appear to be holding back
right.
As they proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, over the years it has been consistently that one semester, that you know, kind of 15-week period of time that's been funny, and then our second grade and third grade results bounce right back up. The next graph, so we've been looking at average growth, but I think it's also important to look at the percent of students who are exceeding our targeted growth. And again, you can see with the exception of that first grade spring kind of bugaboo that we're working so hard at, we have high percentages of students who are exceeding our targeted growth. So these would be students who are making, by our definition, more than a year's growth in a year's time. One of the program outcomes that has been very important to us is looking at sustained success for students. So wonderful that we can get good growth rates while we're working with students, but can we exit them and have assurance that they will continue to meet grade level standard and meet the outcomes that we desire? To follow that or to investigate that question, we continue to screen students 3 times a year, even after they've exited from the program. And what the graph on this page shows is students who have exited the program mid-year, meaning we got them to a point where they needed to be at that point in the school year, and looked then at what their ultimate spring outcome was. So once they were done with service and no longer getting service, how many of them continued on in that expected rate of growth such that they could meet grade level attainment? And we're finding that nearly 70% of our students continue to make the grade level growth even without our continued service after we've exited them. That's been an increase relative to last year, and so we're delighted to be able to report that we had made some important changes this year to our exit criteria that I think helped us be more specific in terms of knowing when we could really exit a student and feel good assurance that we weren't going to be pulling him right back in another month or so. And so this growth has been important to see.
Senator Daly, did I see your hand?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you go back to the previous slide for just a minute? And, you know, the without a doubt, the glass is more than half full here. So it's a great story. Just for a moment, can you help us better understand the 32% of students who are not making more than 1 year's growth? in 1 year's time? What's the story there? To what do you attribute that primarily? Or are there multiple reasons?
Madam Chair and Senator, thank you for the question. I think there are probably a wide variety of reasons that the students may not make the over a year's growth in a year's time. We certainly have a wide range of students who are identified to participate in the Minnesota Reading Corps program. We start the school year with students who are closest to grade level expectations. So the idea is if we kind of take the kiddos who are almost there but just need a little boost, then we can be successful with that. And then in partnership with the school, that allows the school and their highly qualified certified teachers to be focusing their efforts on the needs of students who are farther from grade level expectation and may have more significant instructional need. But as we are successful with the students close to targets, we continue to work our way down the list and begin to work with students with more and more complex needs. So one hypothesis is that the students who we attempt to support who are farther from their grade level expectation may not achieve over a year's growth in a year's time. What they often do achieve is great acceleration of progress. So perhaps they're going from making about a quarter of a year's growth to making three quarters of a year's growth. And so we're seeing acceleration, but not to the extent that we want. In our analysis looking at starting points, so we've evaluated what our success rate for working with students who are close to targets versus students who begin the year far from targets. And we do find that our success rates are higher for those that are close to target. It's consistent with the intervention program, which is primarily a program designed to provide practice and build automaticity with skills already taught in the core classroom. Some students need more than just practice with their skills. They need a very specialized or specific instruction on component skills in reading. And so it may be that there's a somewhat of a mismatch between some students who are identified to participate in Reading Corps and the full package of what those students would need.
Senator Rieger?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there a summer program where there can be mandatory intervention, especially for those students that are falling through the cracks?
Madam Chair and Senator, thank you. Would you repeat the question one more time? I missed it.
Madam Chair, is there a summer program where there might be intervention? And should if there is, should it be mandatory, especially for those students that are at risk and not at proficiency at this point?
Thank you, Senator. Madam Chair, I think many of our school districts do put into place summer programs, either more traditional extended school year programs or acceleration programs, and those do seem to meet an important need for students. We know from our just looking at instructional data in general that there is a huge slide that happens for most students over the summer when they're not engaged in daily kind of practical work doing academic skills, and that most students do kind of bounce back up after the first few weeks of the fall, but by maintaining some academic activity, you would hope to be able to eliminate that slide and then need for recoupment.
Okay. Thank you. Why don't you proceed? We've got a couple more people that want to testify, so let's keep it rolling. I don't think we want to miss, because we do have a deadline that we've got to be out of the room. Somebody else is coming at 10 o'clock, so...
Thank you. Let me share our grade 3 reading performance outcomes from the 2010-2011 school year. And we were giddy, really, with excitement to identify that we had 78% of our third grade students meet or exceed expectations on our statewide test of reading for the 2011 assessment. That high percentage is certainly a testament to the good outcomes, and I think particularly when you remember that the students who are identified for this program are all identified on the basis of being at risk for not passing this state test, so we're excited to see these outcomes. Looking at our growth in MCA performance between last year and this year, the 2010 and 2011, the program enjoyed an 11% increase in student outcomes on the MCA 2 test of reading. Having done this program for several years and following students across the years, we're also able to look at our longitudinal outcomes. And so looking at students who were in second grade in 2009-2010 and participated in the reading corps as second graders, we note that 78% of those students as third graders also passed the third grade MCA in 2011. So we see our sustained success. And then finally, our first graders, who it would be in 2008-2009, they were first graders, 09-10 second graders, 10-11 third graders, and over 80% of those students who we supported in first grade met our third grade targets. Mm-hmm. So exciting outcomes. We're pleased to be able to share, and thank you for the time that you've offered us to do that.
Thank you very much. This has been very enlightening. Senator Nelson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. What a great report. And you mentioned it. I appreciate first the data-driven analysis that you've given and the continuous improvement that you're looking for. And you were already aware of areas that students weren't achieving what you had hoped and had looked at possible reasons for that. I just wanted to elaborate on something you mentioned just briefly, but I think it bears a greater emphasis, actually. And that is looking at these results and looking at the numbers of students who performed now as expected. And sometimes we might be tempted to look at those results and say, oh, that's 68% or that's 70%. And what we need to remember is that 100% of the students that we're looking at here were at risk. So as we compare these numbers with what we look at district-wide or building-wide with student performance, those numbers, and many schools are glad to be in the 80% level, that 80% is 80% of all their students. And so to achieve comparable results when working with 100% of students who are at risk, I think is quite remarkable. And I didn't want that to get lost on the committee or on the public. And maybe just one other thing I might add, Madam Chair, is that for members, as you go home this spring, if you have any time, make time to visit the Reading Corps within your district or this fall. These are great results, but to actually see it in action is phenomenal. So I would encourage you to just try and get out to your sites one time and visit and experience the miracle of the Reading Corps.
And Ms. Melma, it seems to me, am I misreading this, but it seems that the ones that you've worked with in first grade have tended to have a higher percent of carryover. So it seems to say that early start and catching it early actually can improve the results. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator. I couldn't have said those things better myself. And I do think that these data support the notion of the effectiveness of early intervention and the importance of our age 3 to grade 3 model that allows us to catch small problems early and fix them before they get out of hand.
Okay, great. Senator Stumpf, before we go to, I think, the next, is it Dr. Marston? Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't want to pass up the opportunity to say thank you. you know, it's reassuring to the chair and the committee, the members, that we have a small army or a growing army of teachers out there. And it was really fun to hear the, you know, the narrative that, was it Laura? Mm-hmm. That I presented, and you know, having many of us have grandchildren, and for some odd reason, it seems like when you're a parent, you don't take the opportunity, or the opportunity is so busy that you really don't kind of see that kind of day-to-day growth that occurs. And having grandchildren kind of allows you to look at that desire to learn in those young children. And so it's really reassuring to me, and I think all of us, that we've got some very successful programs that are multiplying across the state. So thank you very much.
And I just have to say, as I said to Senator Saltzman earlier, this is a made in Minnesota model. There are other states that are using a Reading Corps as a part of AmeriCorps, but this model that has been very well designed and evaluated is unique in the country, and it's now they're starting to look at it and wanting to replicate, and I think there's maybe you'll be sharing some of that, but it is it's a wonderful contribution that has been made by folks that have been developing and working on this, and I'm glad we were wise enough to make that investment and help keep it going and growing. So, Dr. Marston, I think you've got some very interesting and exciting news for us as well.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I'd like to point out I'm pinch hitting today. I'm pinch hitting for Dr. David Heisted, Executive Director of Research and Evaluation at the Minneapolis Schools. He's out of town, so he asked me to come and to explain the results, and so I'm happy to do that. So thank you for the invitation. What we did was a matched sample analysis in which we...
Did you say your name for the record?
Oh, I'm sorry. Doug Marston.
Okay.
Doug Marston, yes. What we did was a matched sample analysis in which we compared students that received Minnesota Reading Corps services with a comparison student or a matched student. This is a very powerful analysis, and it's a way for us to do contrasts of the effectiveness of Minnesota Reading Corps with a control group. And what we did was we looked at 94 students in kindergarten, 208 students in first grade, 208 students in second grade, and 243 students in third grade. These were students that were receiving Minnesota Reading Corps in 20 schools in the Minneapolis School District. And so what we did was pair those students with a control student. Just to describe the sample briefly here, about 85% of those students were students of color. About 90% of those students live in poverty. Breakdown on gender was very close, 53% female, 47% male. And approximately a little over 30% of those students receiving English language learner services, ELL services. The variables we matched on were, of course, grade level. We also looked at their achievement score in the fall, so we wanted to make sure that they were both starting at the same point. For the kindergarten students, we matched those students on total literacy, and Carrie just described some of those early literacy measures to you, the letter sounds, letter naming, phonemic awareness, those types of indicators. At first grade, we used the same total literacy and words correct. And then for the second and third graders, we used the measures of academic performance, the MAP. You might be familiar with NWAA, Northwest Educational Association. They're the producers of the MAP, Standardized Achievement Test in Reading. That's a very popular assessment that's used across the state. These students were also matched on gender, on attendance levels, poverty, ELL, and in some cases there might have been a student with a disability, but not very many. Just to describe a little bit of the interventions, although there's been a lot of description already of the interventions, I'm not going to do that, but just to give you a sense of how much time those students spent in their MRC sessions. The average for the kindergarten students, the average was about 29 sessions. At grade one, it was 61 sessions. For grade two students, they received roughly 70 sessions, and grade three, 66 sessions. So a fair amount of intervention activity. What we did in this analysis was look at the students at the beginning of the school year and determine those students that were not in special education. Then by the end of the school year, we took a look at our special ed count files and determined what students had actually been identified for special education. And so what you have is the bar chart, which indicates the number of students that ended up in special education. The blue bar represents Minnesota Reading Corps. Red bar represents those students that were in the match sample. And as you can see, there's a fair amount of difference there. We calculated the percentage of students that received Minnesota Reading Corps services and interventions, and about 1.5% of the students that received the Minnesota Reading Corps help ended up going into special education. In the control group, or the match sample group, that number was 5.4%. So that's a fairly a substantial difference. And my last slide sort of gets at perhaps some, you know, just sort of a general statement about special education and how this kind of data might fit in. It's a quote that I actually pulled from Tom Parrish. Tom Parrish is a Harvard researcher. He's done a lot of work in this area in terms of looking at disproportion, cost of special education, and several other issues. He says, while increases in the enrollment of students with very severe needs are arguably beyond district control, the predominant categories of rising enrollment are in the less severe categories of disability. For at least some of these students, enhancing the capacity of general education to address a broader range of learning diversity appears to be what is needed if rising special ed costs and enrollments are to be brought under greater control. And so as we listen to and hear about Minnesota Reading Corps as a targeted intervention for students in the general ed setting, and as we look at the significant growth rates that Carrie's presenting, and as we look at this kind of data, it gives us some reason to think that this might be a very effective intervention to be using in our schools.
Thank you very much.
That's my presentation.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I did want to ask a question about your chart that you talked about that talks about the, and I assume this is part of the matched pairs, that the ones that had the Reading Corps mm-hmm. had a much lower rate of enrollment in special education. Can you talk a little bit about the criteria that determine who's eligible for special education? Because part of what I'm hearing you say is that if they learn to read, they're not eligible for special education. I mean, I'm kind of condensing your comment, I guess, a little bit, mm-hmm. maybe overly condensing it. But what are the criteria that determine eligibility? And is it beyond just reading?
Well, eligibility for special education, first of all, there are 13-some categories of disability where we serve children in Minnesota. Learning disabilities is probably, is the most prevalent category. Learning disability students can receive IEPs, individual educational plans, in the areas of reading, in the areas of math, in the areas of writing, and in the areas of behavior. Those are the dominant factors. So in the area of reading, for a student to receive services, they would have to demonstrate that they had low achievement and had not been progressing or responding to an intervention.
You know, it's been interesting that some of the experts that we've had here and talked with before in special education have said that learning disabled category of special ed is populated predominantly with instructional casualties. And that's why I think these kinds of interventions that are a significant investment when you look at the cost. And it appears when they also add that only 5% ever get out of that special ed category, it means that there's some lack of capacity to be able to turn that around while they're functioning in the special ed program. And so the continued costs, both to the individual and to the school and state, is is something that we ought to, this to me is very powerful, a powerful message of why we need to continue to focus on this reading, and I think the reading and math, they're the two areas. And if we can lick that, I think we will also greatly reduce our special ed costs. Senator Saltzman, you want to?
I just want to add, I think, Madam Chair, because our time is short, is that your investment in the Reading Corps is through the Serve Minnesota. And Audrey Zucker is here today, and Audrey has shown incredible leadership. She's not at the table today. I know that, you know, Alice Seagram will be speaking a little bit about the leadership that has grown this program. But I think it's important to note, again, that this is an investment not only in students, but it's also in national service and the AmeriCorps program. So the bipartisan support that's been, especially from the Senate and also from Governor Dayton, I think that the partnership that you've had with him, Madam Chair, has been an extraordinary example of who wins when we work together. And that's the students of this state and their future. So thank you.
Thank you. Senator Bonner?
I'll be brief because I know time is short, and I want to hear from Commissioner Seagren. But I am floored by the presentation. I was so moved by the earlier stories of the actual young woman, Laura, in the classroom, and then to see this particular slide and look at the cross-subsidy that we continue to support and how much smarter we'd be to take that cross-subsidy resource and put it into expanding this. I'm just very proud of the work that's gone on.
Thank you. Thank you. Commissioner Seagren, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Former.
Once a commissioner, always.
Yes. Yeah.
And also legislator, so I'm proud to wear that label also.
Yes.
Thank you so very much, and it's wonderful to see new faces and faces that I've known in the past, and thank you for your leadership. I'm really here to thank Senator Olson and Senator Saltzman for their leadership in this, not only for the Minnesota Reading Corps, but also for their passion for setting the standard for reading in Minnesota for all of our teachers that are going to be coming through the pipeline in the future and for those that are in the classroom right now. Their leadership has just been extraordinary, and I know we've missed Senator Saltzman's leadership, and we will be missing Senator Olson's leadership in this. And my charge to you is, was so impressed many years ago with the St. Croix River Education District's model that I went out to visit that really became the foundation for the Minnesota Reading Corps, and that's what I saw. I saw that when I went and visited three sections of first grade in Cloquet, Minnesota, that they had zero children after the end of the year that were being referred to special ed, and I said, what? That can't be, you know. Well, okay, well, tell me about that one child. You know, well, we don't think he's going to be referred to special ed. We just think he's has, you know, some developmental issues. He's still a little boy, and he's still playing, you know, and doesn't really want to attend to reading yet, but we think he's going to make it okay. And so that's what really kind of launched my thinking, and it was many, many people, including Audrey Zucker and the Minnesota Literacy Council, the work of the University of Minnesota, their research on individual growth development indicators, those IGDs that they use to look at continual assessment, and then the very specific interventions that are used that are scientifically based. A very consistent program that keeps the fidelity to the program. And for me, it is scalable and replicable. It's a program, and many of us are familiar with much more expensive reading programs that are very appropriate for children who need much more intense supervision and instruction. But we have 70,000 or more children every year that, because our districts don't have the time, our teachers don't have the time to spend that one-on-one 20 minutes a day, but someone else that's highly trained can come alongside that teacher with their help and support to get to those children so that they don't fall through the cracks and don't become the children that are 2 years behind educationally, who are struggling, and then once there, never catch up. So we are saving many, many children who could potentially have been lost, and it's a wonderful program. And so my challenge to all of you is, when Senator Olson leaves, that there will be people here that will take up that that mantle and continue the Minnesota Reading Corps and carry it forward, continue funding it, increase the funding. If we increase the funding, you know, maybe two or three more times, we could reach all of the children on a consistent basis every year. And as you noted, the analysis, the questions that were being asked, okay, well, what happened in this particular area of reading skill? Are we not doing something right? How are we falling behind? We're continually trying to improve this program. So it's a program that has much fidelity, much research and evaluation behind it. And I was out in Idaho just recently and happened to mention to a former colleague of mine about the Minnesota Reading Corps. And they are so interested in Idaho. We sent a whole package of material out there. We're going to be following up with them. And many other states are interested, too. But as Kathy said, we need to make sure that it is a program that's implemented with fidelity. And so if it is going to go to other places, it has to be the way we want it to be. Thank you so much, Senator Olson. You and Kathy have been a bipartisan team that has not let any politics or any partisanship get in the way of good practice. And I'm so grateful for that because it's meant the world to all of these children.
Thank you very much. You know, when Kathy and I started down that track, we had a broader scope that we had to narrow in terms of the preparation of teachers. But the package that was put together, just to kind of give you perspective, the Reading Corps is a central focus of it, but part of it is the literacy plan that districts have to do. They don't have to turn it into the state or get approval, but the elements that they need to be putting in place feed into, then they know they don't have to take Reading Corps. You only come if you're invited, and so you see that people have been catching on that this is a way to help, because the enticement at the end is that we have the literacy incentive aid, that they're going to get dollars for every child that's learning at proficiency at third grade or is making more than a year of growth, so that both the people that are dealing on the growth side and achieving the proficiency are recognized in getting that aid. We will be, in our current bill, we will be altering that calculation method, so when you see the dollars per student of the successes, it kind of blows you away, and that'll be on the floor tomorrow, so we'll talk more about it. But that package, what that did was allow us to go into the schools and help, because you heard them say that what they're doing with the Reading Corps members coming in are really not only teaching and tutoring these children, but they're also a resource and a help to the existing teachers that are changing some of their practice as well. That is, I think, going to see that acceleration continue. So I'm excited and I hate to say proud, but I have to say that this one of this, what we've been able to do in getting this to come about, and I do hope that you will all carry on. Senator Kreif.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for your enthusiasm in this. I really do appreciate that. I have a couple of questions. Number one, is there a list of the schools that have been participating that you might be able to send to us? That's the first question. The second question is, and this actually goes back to something that Senator Stump mentioned, many of us have grandchildren. And do you have any plans of trying to expand this program into a tutoring program for parents of young children that are pre-K, 3 and 4 year olds you might work with on a tutoring basis? Because I'm a firm believer that if we get our parents involved, we are going to be miles and miles farther ahead than we even are now.
Well, Senator Kreif, you're sitting next to the
right,
one who
exactly.
carries Parent-child
home program.
Parent-child home program is doing just that. But Senator Salton, share with us what you might be looking at.
On that point, Madam Chair, and Senator Kreif, We will have a list for next year, and it's being tweaked a little bit, but we will be posting that and then providing that to all of you so that you can see where the reading corps is going next year. I think that's very important. We also have the Minnesota Math Corps. I have to put a little plug in for that. And so you'll be able to see that, and you'll see the growth in your districts. We are across the state. We're very proud of that. In terms of the family literacy, I think that the work we're doing now is a good start to that, in that we do have a barrier between our members and families that we go through teachers, so that there isn't that. But I think the work that we're doing with the family literacy, especially with the Talk, Read, Write, where we're giving parents, where when the program is in full implementation, they receive a book every week with the reading tips. We encourage them. Our members are doing family literacy events, so when there's back-to-school nights, that they're doing that. We just developed a webinar program where we were training another program through Points of Light, again, in this repeated read aloud, which is teaching those really simple reading skills. Again, reading to kids is wonderful, but we can do even better in how we read to kids and are much more intentional. I think intentional is another word that we use a lot. So we're very intentional about how we do things. So I think that's important. And just one more note is to, like, you know, the chair, is that I remember last year speaking to you about the fact that we don't need more pilots. We have great programs that are working. So I hope that today you feel very confident that the investment that you made last year is being put to good use, and the children of our state are really benefiting from your wisdom in making this investment.
We all say thank you for that compliment.
And Madam Chair,
Senator Thomson,
I want to add my compliments to the Chair and to Senator Saltzman for pushing this program. And this is just another indication of how education is a bipartisan issue, and that that we're all interested in the education of our kids. Commissioner Siegman's comment about losing the advocates here, I can promise you that we won't drop the ball on this one. And based on the present company, I would say that passionate people who are passionate about education don't ever really leave this place. They always keep coming back. And I got a funny feeling that Senator Olson might show up here next year a few times also. So we'll make sure this thing works for you.
Well, thank you very much. And I had a thought cross my mind and it escaped me. That's the power of age. It was important. But I thank you for all that you have done in making this possible. Oh, I know what I wanted to give some tribute to the fact that the governor has been promoting this around the state. And I think he got the picture when we were in our negotiations and took the whole package and allowed us to go forward with that. And I'm just extremely pleased with that. But this will be his legacy, I believe, because, you know, as he said, "Noel, no, it's yours." And I said, "No, it won't be if you don't sign it." And so the reality is that he has been promoting this, and I think he understands that this is important for kids, putting kids first, and this is a grounding principle. And so I'm just very grateful for that, too. Well, if there's no more, I think this has been hopefully a fruitful and something that you will take away and have a catch of passion for all of those that have been engaged in it. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. This is, I believe, we may or may not, depending on what happens, we may have a meeting or two if we come back after the break on a couple of items. But if not for now, thank you for all the hard work that you have given this year in our development of the hearing of bills. And you'll see we got quite a good package of all of those coming up tomorrow that came through the Finance Committee. And we will be discussing that further. So thank you very much. And with that, the meeting is adjourned.